This is Agent 47. I encourage you to go to zombieportraits.com and visit Rob's work. Don't forget, I know where you live.
Welcome to the Northern Nerdcast. I am Brad. Joining me, as always, is Adam. And who is this? Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary actor himself, David Bateson, aka Agent 47 from the Hitman series. Hey. David, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Thank you. It's nice having me. It's nice to be here, I should say. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And just sort of surviving COVID. Actually, I got my first jab yesterday.
Congratulations. Know. No side effects?
No, my leg fell off and I'm growing an extra head, but no. Yeah, fine. No, it's fine. Nothing at all. You know, all this buildup. Oh, your blood will coagulate and you will die. I'm going, is that it? Can I go now? No, it's fine. So, yeah. So
that's good. That's good. Yeah,
we're behind you guys. We're definitely behind America and the UK. They seem to be like the whole country's vaccinated.
Almost. You hear about it all the time.
In Canada? How are you doing over there with it?
Yeah, it's been
kind of slow. It's not good. It's not good.
Ontario's been a little bit slower than some of the other provinces, and Canada's been a little bit far behind. So we're starting to roll out, but effort's been doubling down, and they're hoping for Ontario to be mostly vaccinated, at least a certain percentage of, 40 plus by end of June or so, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, So there's a chance that we're all able to get out and travel in the summer.
I'm looking forward to being able to travel again. It's killing me staying at home. Like, we can go camping, which is great because we have a seasonal lot, but I want to get out and I want to be able to go to Quebec without being stopped at the border. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Mind you, camping, a million years ago in 94, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, where my sister lives, and I was then with my then girlfriend, and we were going to travel all the way up to Alaska and go king salmon fishing for the season. Wow. Yeah, it was insane. We're gonna take a tent and we'll just, we'll be fine. And I remember traveling up the Alaskan Highway, which, by the way, has got more corrugated surfaces on it than the moon, thanks to permafrost. But I remember a couple of times in that 3-4 day slow drive we did up the Alaskan Highway, we stopped and saw a bear. Now, my Danish girlfriend at the time, she goes, "Hey, just get out the car and take photographs." And I thought, wait a minute. The bear is rising up on its hind legs and there's two bear cubs. I think the food chain has just been reversed. Yeah. There is no big barbed wire fence in front of us. Get in the car. And, because you suddenly realize you haven't seen a car all day and we're standing there with an angry mama bear and her two kids. And we're going, yeah, oh shit, run. So I'm not so sure about camping in Canada.
No, it's where I live, we're like, I'm up in Kirkland Lake, so we're literally like it's all forest. So you go 5 minutes out of town and you're already in bush. So it's
okay.
It's fun because there's lots to like do camp wise once the restrictions have been lifted, obviously. But there's ski hills, there's spas, everything. It's all within 40 minutes of the town. So can't complain.
I have so got to come and visit Canada. I just love the idea of Canada. I mean, I know if you don't like lakes or trees, don't go there.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic, it's a obscenely beautiful part of the world.
And well, you lived here for a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Not in the States or in Canada.
Oh, no. I thought you lived here.
Sadly, I didn't. I've got family in Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my connection. My dad's brother. So my uncle George.
Okay.
I live in the Bateson family of Vancouver. There's only one of them. But no, I've only just driven through, you know, the British Columbia side, going up to Alaska and back.
Okay.
Killed a bit in Vancouver, but no, I'm so overdue a good visit. I know, you know, there are some places. I remember, I always used to think, I won't go to Paris unless it's with a girlfriend, because that's just obscene. That's wrong somehow. Standing there, you just feel so such a loser. Just, I'm like, duh.
In the city really of love.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everyone's going around going, j'adore. And you're just going, yep, I got my backpack. So I thought, I won't go there until I'm going there with a woman. And so I did. And the other one was New York. I said, I'm not going there because if I'm going to go to this North America, like mainly the States, visit my sister in Georgia, I'm going to travel around. I want to stay away from cities. I want to see all the nature. And that's what I'm gagging to do in a place like Canada, where I obviously will camp. Mm-hmm. I will camp like it's going out of fashion. But
and you'll have people near you. So if yeah, there's a bear that comes at you, you just have to be faster yeah than that.
Well, I remember the day we actually set off. I went to this big camping store in just outside Atlanta. And I said, you know, it's just, what I'm looking for are big pegs. You know, just, you know, you get a tent with these little baby pegs. And I'm going, well, that's not going to work, is it? The first gust of wind and I'll be lying there in the prairie, whatever. And so that's all I was looking for. And I got my pegs and I told him where I was going. And he said, well, maybe you want to take some bear spray. And he showed me bear spray. And I went, what? This is going to work against a charging grizzly? Excuse me, okay, I'm ready now. No, it's not going to work. But so he tried to sell me a gun, and then, and it's so weird, he didn't notice my accent until right at the end. And he said, because I was holding all these guns, and whoa, this is cool. I've never held a 44 Magnum before. And, oh, hey, an Uzi, I could wipe out a whole village with this. You know, and then he's trying to sell me these guns. And then I say, excuse me, I need to stop you. Do you have any security checks on the sale of this arsenal in your camping store where I just came in for pegs? And he goes, yes, sir, we do. We have a 3-day security check. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Because, you know, I could have come to North America again. I hate all North Americans. Oh wow! How many bullets can I buy? You know, and then I said, "What is that?" Thinking it was going to be a check, that I haven't just come out of jail having axed my mother to death, or you know. And he said, "It's a 3-day credit card security." And I went, "Oh, good. Good. Welcome to America. I'll have the Uzi, the you know."
Welcome to America, where you can buy a gun, but you can't get Kinder Surprise eggs.
Well, yeah. It was so funny because he didn't see my irony, but I was really keeping a straight face. But the point being was, I said, what do I do when I get back to Atlanta Airport? And he smiled at me and said, well, that's nothing of our concern, sir. I went, so I can just see me now, you know, waiting to catch my flight, standing there with my Uzi, my shotgun, my... I got to get $5, nearest bit. I got a plane to, listen, it's yours, kid. It's all yours. Have a good day. I mean, you know, I just wanted to say, you cannot have a gun your way. So, that's another story. Who's an assassin. You know.
And that's where you became Agent 47.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Kill people silently.
Camping in the States.
Yeah.
So that actually leads me to the first question that I have is, how did you land the role of Agent 47? Oh, Clayton finally joined us.
Hey.
From his truck.
I got your name down as Dutch. Hey.
Hey, is it Clayton?
Okay.
It's Clayton, but he goes... That
car. If I see that car is moving, I'm not going to talk to you.
It is not. It's not moving. Okay.
Cool.
He's actually in rush hour in Toronto. He's not moving for 3 hours.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm in rush hour traffic in Toronto.
Oh, you've parked your car on the motorway. Okay, fair enough. Sorry, what was your question?
So how did you land the role of Agent 47?
I could say something really nasty that I went there. No, I went. You know what? It's a pisser, because I got it almost by accident, in the sense that I was in the right place at the right time in a country where they didn't have many people, you know, around speaking English or American English or whatever. I was in a studio doing a voiceover, and that studio was producing the CGI for the very first computer game back in 2000. Well, actually, it was 1999, before any of you were born. But and they said, hey, listen, Dave, would you come and check out some graphics? We're looking for a guy to play the lead, and he looks like you. So they didn't say that, but and I saw the graphics and I was just blown away. And obviously I was just auditioning, but they liked what I did. You know, that audition just hit the spot. And I kind of saw these kind of Hong Kong graphics, scenes from Hong Kong, and it was all black and white and shadowy and very sort of Japanese cartoon film, and had a Blade Runner feel about it. And I thought to myself, I'll pay them to do this. And I didn't say it out loud. So, and they liked what I did, and I got lucky.
Really, and the rest is history.
Yeah, 20 years, 21 years
of history. Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's like just the evolution. Like I still remember, actually I played Silent Assassin before Agent 47. I just for some reason missed it, but I had a buddy who he would come to school every day, and he just keep talking about these kills that he made. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you're in school talking about kills. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, there was, I was in top of a building and I sniped this Russian asset from a tree. And I was like, what? He's like, oh dude, I'm talking about Hitman. And I was like, what Hitman?
Yeah, no, okay.
So he's like, you don't know it, that you've never. So I went out, yeah. I bought it. And like, I've been hooked on the series. I'm two Hitmans behind, because I haven't played the new two or three yet. I'm still working on
the time zone difference.
Yeah, it is a time zone / year difference.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy to see how the series has evolved. Like, even I was watching one of your interviews. I can't remember. It looked like you were in a warehouse.
I killed the interviewer afterwards.
Yeah,
you better watch out.
I know. You know where we are. Yeah, exactly. But just how it sounded like it was just sound bites originally, instead of a full flowing conversation. But just to see how that's evolved from 2000 until now, it's incredible. And I mean, like, yeah, and like you said, you've been there for 21 years. Like I can't. I don't think many people can say that they've had that the same role for that long.
I think there's, as far as I know, there's only one actor who's played a role more for longer, and that's the actor who plays Mario in Mario Brothers.
Oh, so Adam knows all about that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. I mean, no one thought it would go this long. The five sort of computer geeks that sort of created it were just like going, yeah man, let's see if we can get this up and running, and maybe it'll bring in some cash so we can start working on other franchises and games we got in their heads. And then like a few years later, they're all wearing suits and ties in a building with 200 employees going, what the hell happened, you know? That went horribly wrong. I feel like my dad.
I remember when I played Blood Money there, I was standing. There was one point I was doing a kill where I was in somebody's front yard and I had to kill the asset. And I'm standing there in a clown outfit, and I've got a remote C4 charge, and he sits down in his easy chair to watch a football game, and I'm standing there like a creep, and I blow him up, and I was like, I'm going to play these games forever.
Like, you thinking, should I let him see the rest of the game? Like, seems unfair. No, I'm going to whack him. You know,
touchdown!
Yeah, I'm going to really ruin your day now. And the winner is bang.
So in your past 21 years of doing this, like talking about kills, what was the most creative that you've done, or like you've played your game, obviously, like bits and pieces of it. Like for you, what's
Hitman 2 and 3, by the way.
I watched that Dubai scene. I'm terrified of heights, and I don't know if I could play that.
Whoa. I mean, I've said it to the guys, the writers and stuff, and the creators that I interacted with. I said, guys, I just want to be in the room when you're discussing where are we going this time, and how can we kill this asset? I know, I got a good idea, you know. Let's jump out of a helicopter and or a plane, and then dodge a helicopter that comes up and as you're free falling and land on the world's highest building. Yeah, why not? Good idea. Yeah, what else? You know, what are they on? The kills are endless, you know, and sometimes just for a laugh, I've gone and online and checked out a compilation of the wackiest ways to kill people in my own game. And I think I'm looking at myself going, Agent 47, I don't remember doing that. I do not remember squashing her. You know? But my personal favorites tend to be the kind of, because I'm an actor, the kind of one, the ones that happen in theaters or in Hitman 1, the fashion show. I love that one. I just thought it just had a kind of, you know, some big punsy dick, you know, walking down. Yeah, I'm the bat. Hey, everyone, whoa, take that. Take a bow. You know, it had humor in it. But there's a few others, but I like those kind of hits where they're, you know, either it's a statue falling on you, or you're being horribly electrocuted in a public place, or something. You just look like you're breakdancing or something, and everyone's going, what's that smell? Burgers, you know. It's the wackier the funnier it is, but I like the big dramatic ones, so, you know, something heavy falling on your head.
Oh, and they don't tell me, and they just get whacked.
There's just no way. Is that going to be a flesh wound? I don't think so. You know, I love that. It's just kind of get out of that one. You know, so
that David, was cool. Do you ever
sorry, you carry on.
No, continue on, please.
No, I was just going to say, Adam. We had an elusive target. Was a famous actor, Sean Bean, and who played
Guys and Everything.
he very rarely lives to the end of a film. You know, that was part of the charm. Everyone's killed Sean Bean, you know, died in about 20 times, I think, in feature films. And so he laughed at the idea of being brought in as an elusive target where the whole planet's going to just murder him endlessly, you know, for a couple of months. He shot all these motion cap scenes and stuff in London. And I didn't have anything to do with them until we got to France. We went to the Paris Games. I still think he was like, oh, you know, I've done film premieres. It's all civilized red carpets and press are over there. And the fans are kept well back. And maybe I'll go over and sign one, you know. And then he got to Paris and the shit hit the fan in the sense that, you know, we were leaving the hotel to go to the Paris Games after a day of interviews. And these four big Fijians turned up in smoking, you know, tuxedos. And we're going, what? Who are these guys? They were huge. and said, oh, we are your bodyguards, monsieur. Okay. And so Sean Bean said, oh, it's all right. I don't think we're going to need bodyguards, really. You know, he's, and that big Fijian, that one of the four of them said, monsieur, take a look outside the window. Anyway, and outside was a screaming, throbbing mob. It was going to tear us limb from limb on the pavement, you know. And suddenly he went, bloody hell. So that, you know, that whole kind of gaming fan dedication and hysteria, he was not, you know, in any way prepared for.
We're crazy people.
Yeah, well, it got worse when we got to the PlayStation stand at the Paris Games. We're about to go on stage and we're backstage. And there was a French DJ on the stage. Yeah, that one was you. Le Hitman, and we have Le Sean Bean, and the crowd are going mental, and the stage was only 1 meter high, and there was no barrier, so they could just reach out and rip your leg off, you know, and he's at the top of the stairs about to walk on, go into the stage, and he suddenly heard this crowd going totally off the scale, and he went, oh, he came down the stairs again. I went, well, can't go to the toilet now. What are you doing? No, I think on second thoughts, you go first. And I went, oh, second, push me out in front of the. But all that hysteria is a part of the excitement of enthusiasm of computer games and in particular the Hitman franchise. And getting back to the idea of the favorite kills. I think there's not a fan out there that doesn't really enjoy a good, disgusting kill. And that surprises me a bit sometimes because I think of the games, he's known as the Silent Assassin. Yeah, I don't know how I got around to this point, but
it's all good. Like for me, like the scene that stands out the most in the entire series is when you take out all of the nuns.
We got into such trouble for that. We're going to hell. Oh no!
Like wow.
It's not good. It's just so not. It's so wrong. But it was great in every way. It was sexy. It was violent beyond disbelief. And you know, I mean, just there are times. Okay, I got three daughters, and two of them play the game. And then 19 and 16 year olds, they play the game. And sometimes I kind of walk into their room and they're playing it and they go, hey dad, it's so cool hearing your voice in my headphones when I'm strangling this, you know, vicar from behind. Oh, there's everything wrong about this picture. Where did I go wrong? You know? Yeah. We need to talk. Yeah.
You want to like cover their eyes and be like, don't watch this. Yeah, but dad, I'm playing the game.
Yeah, you don't want to see this bit. This is real. Yeah, that's exactly the bit I want to see. No.
No.
So, yeah, what can I say?
Adam, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, sorry, Adam.
No, by all means. I was just going to say, in the spirit of that, when recording, was there anything, any scene particular that you saw in script and thought like you were laughing or were really taken by it, getting into it?
Yeah, there's a few, because I think it's a kind of a chicken and egg situation. I don't know if the writers have pushed the envelope because they can, or they go, oh, I can hear David say this line. Oh yeah, let's go there. You know, but there are some times when I pick up a script or a sequence and I go, oh, this is going to be fun. And it was one of the most recent ones was the Rialta sequence where he's showing the asset around a house and pretending he's a state agent. And he's describing everything in terms of a kill. You know, and the bathrooms can be a bit slippery. So, you know, because it's going to be covered in blood, yours. and all those, and it was great because he's trying to, you know, Agent 47 is a really crap actor. You know, I'm not allowed to go into different accents and go, ah, monsieur, or, you know, or, you know, when I'm in disguise as a waiter or whatever, I just got to kind of quietly act badly. But there he was really pushed to kind of, you know, staying counting, just waiting. I just gotta wait for those bodyguards to go away, otherwise I lose my silent. Okay, I better describe the bathroom and the kitchen, and you know, and it's like, God, it's so boring, but it has such irony in it, you know, which makes it very not boring. So those kind of sequences where you say one thing and you mean something else, I thoroughly enjoy that, like a five course dinner, you know. I'm going, oh, let me take it again. You go, no, it's fine, we got it. No, come on. So yeah, those are the sequences I like.
That was the one that stuck out as well. Just like as you said, going through like the living space and just like, you notice there's two exits over here and the floor is easy to clean up for any messes.
He just getting, and he just can't help himself. You know, that's what I love about Agent 47. He just cannot, you know, he's born to kill. So that's his hobby, his pastime, his job, you know, it's everything. So he's kind of can only see things in terms of things that are sharp and could be dropped on you and stabbed in you, and, you know, I could poison you with that. He's just thinking, thank goodness he's not a happily married man. Imagine him with kids. Okay, this is how you should do it. That kid that's bullying you, you take them from behind and you get them in a chokehold and you wait for like 20 seconds and your problem's gone away. Thanks, Dad. Can you imagine him?
Well, there's one. I know there's one like real, like it's kind of like a human part there in Absolution where 47 leaning up against the trunk of that car in the desert while a guy, what he's digging his grave or whatever. And he's sitting there eating an apple, having a conversation. I was like,
that was deeply sick because you can actually, you know, some players have gone and let him dig the thing and then just put him back in the car and take him away again. You can really talk to the guy. You know, so they have all these extra dialogue in that gang. No, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Oh, okay. Get back in the car.
Yeah.
And then you whack him in the car. You push him out on the motorway. And it's just freeway. There were some sick sequences. And, I ate about three apples doing that sequence. Leaves. The recording studio had a big bowl of fruit and they get another apple, get another apple. Yeah, that was sick, you know, because you just know it's not going to end well.
So. I know. And that's the thing, right? Like this guy's digging a grave and you're sitting there getting your fiber for the day.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
A little longer.
Yeah. You've got another contract coming up. So does it feel weird when you're playing the game just to hear your words like in the game, or like are you used to that now? Like, or was it weird when you first started Agent 47?
Here's the thing, and I have no idea why. It feels very disturbingly very normal, and like, yeah, this is what I do for a living. What do you do for a living? You know. And you know, Agent 47 is my best friend, and that is I'm rather glad he's my best friend as opposed to my enemy. But no, I feel when I cannot remember a time before Agent 47. That sounds really weird to say that, but so I and right from the word go, I felt when I was playing the game, I was going, yeah. I wasn't listening to my voice. It just goes, this is how Agent 47 sounds. And the only issue I nearly had was in going from Hitman in the last three games of the franchise up to now, Hitman 1, 2, and 3. Somewhere in Hitman 1, when they're in Paris and Sapienza and stuff, I started to notice that he was having a lot more dialogue. And that's kind of struck me as being a bit weird as the silent assassin and saying things in a kind of dry or monotone way, but just with an edge of like, I'm having a great day. And that exploded in Hitman 2 and went off the scale in Hitman 3. And that was a very deliberate decision by the writers. Then they said, David, because I went, no way, man, Look at this script. I've got verbal diarrhea. And he said, David, go with us on this. We've done a lot of, given a lot of thought and so on. And it would make, their reasoning was that it would make the player feel more attached, more an integral part of a hit. If when their Agent 47, who they are playing, when he's in disguise, gets to kind of, you know, work the room, whether as a waiter or as a hairdresser or whatever, and keep fooling everyone with his bad acting. Just because there's a lot of silence, you know, there's a lot of long sequences where there's, he's crawling around or he's crouching or he's, and there's no dialogue or very little, or you hear the people saying something in the background, but he's not interacting with them. And they were right. So that was an occasion where I thought it was gonna be weird hearing my voice just saying a lot of, you know, would you like another gin and tonics or more ice in your, you know, what the? And when I saw it in play, it really works. So I was wrong. So yeah.
That's awesome. So I've just got, I'm. this is probably more of a, this is probably, yeah, that we'll just blame it on the internet. This is more of a rhetorical question because I already know the answer, but who would win in a stealth off, Agent 47 or Snake?
Or who?
Snake, Solid Snake, Metal Gear.
Oh, Solid Snake. Ooh, okay, that is a tough one. That is a tough spot. One, actually. Yeah, because that's a badass character.
I would say or Agent 47, just because he's got the disguise. Snake just has a box.
If you look at it like that, but yeah. So I'll go. Yeah, of course I'm going to go with Agent 47. Just wanna,
they pay your bills.
I couldn't answer anything else. I'm Agent 47 every time. Going down, Snake.
I actually wanted to ask you something, and I had a couple of questions written up, but you sort of just answered them with your talking about I was going to ask if you ran into 47 on the street if you would be friends, assuming he's not working and you're not his target. Which
it'd be a very short meeting anyway. I seriously, it sounds so schizophrenic to say that, but I truly regard Agent 47 as a drinking buddy. I just love just to play pool with him in a bar. Just to, oh, come on. How was your day? You rack him up. You don't want to know. Yes, I do want to know. I killed, you know. It would not be boring, but I look at it this way. When I am, you know, because it goes a year or two between games, maybe 18 months to 2 years or something on average. And when I know, when I get the call and David, you know, checking out availability dates for recording, and I know that, oh, great, in 2 weeks' time or a month, I'm going to hang out with Agent 47 and I'm going to hang out with him for about 6 months. Yes. I genuinely look forward to it, like meeting up with an old, you know, high school best mate from way back, you know. And that sounds so weird saying that, but it's true, because you know, we record a level at a time roughly, and it's spread out over 6 to 8 weeks between recording sessions, and then there's pickup sessions, and so the whole process is about a 6 month sitting. I think we've done it in maybe around 4 or 5 months, but I would say now it's definitely been a six with all this extra dialogue stuff. So yeah. I just know I'm going to hang out with Agent 47, my best mate, for 6 months, and I really look forward to that, like, you know, meeting a real best mate. I need to see
it. I could see the movie now. Like a buddy comedy with you and Agent 47.
Well, you know, I'm not going to, I can't give away any stuff because you need to play Hitman 3. But there's a bit of a buddy movie going on there. And I got off on it in the sense that I was aging 47 and I'm going on a hit, and I got my best mate with me. Okay. Oh, this can't get any better. And I really felt that in the studio. When I'm recording, I'm going, David, snap out of it, man. No, this is cool. Hey, this must be such fun, kind of meeting up with, you know, your old buddy from Romania when you were kids. Like, you've got to play the game. But, also Diana Burnwood, a very talented, fantastic Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Who have become really good mates with now. I get to hang out with her in the game, in a hit situation, and it's like, it just felt so cool. Diana, how are we gonna do this? You know, well, you just stuck a knife in him. Oh my goodness! Wow, women didn't do that kind of thing.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, I'll say. So no. The game has, for me, huge emotional pleasure, genuine, unadulterated pleasure. It's not just saying the lines and getting those dark moments of humor in the reality, you know, sequences, and it's seeing what Agent 47 gets up to and how he's going to go about it, and then now that he gets to chill out with some people who he can share a hit with, and I'm going, oh, that's fun. So yeah.
It makes it a little less lonely, I guess, for the character.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. He's been that character, you know, and the silent assassin, the lone wolf and all that. And that's good. But I wouldn't have it any other way, but it was just nice to have an option to bring along a buddy. And especially as, you know, this story, it's been going from the very first game back in 2000, you know, his search for his identity and who he is and who's behind it all. And that comes full circle in Hitman 1, 2, and 3 as one story arc. So when you get to 3, you're just going, yes, this is good. It feels good, you know? And with regard to recording the last game, that was of the trilogy, brilliant. I just enjoyed every second of it. Like, oh, can't wait for the next one. But now there is a break, whilst they concentrate on the Bond franchise. So I'll have to wait a while before I see Agent 47 again.
Mm. So one of my buddies sent me a text because he's a massive fan of the series. He wanted to know what has made Hitman endure the past, like, since 2000, like the evolution, I guess, is
evolution. Well, you know, I'll say this: it's tough as an actor to find kind of reasons for saying lines, you know, behind the lines, because there is no history. He starts out with like total amnesia, going, who are you? I have no idea. What's my name? I'll just check my beep, you know, yeah, Agent 47. So it was hard to kind of flesh him out as a personality. And that was the way it was written, and purposefully so. But what I decided from the get-go was to give him a reason, was to kind of make up in my mind. Where that came from was that I had a very fragmentary upbringing. I moved around a lot, went to 9 schools in 12 years and 2 countries. So I was going, where, will you stop moving? My parents, is he trying to get rid of me? I go to school, I come back and you've moved. So I used that kind of feeling of being on the outside of life, looking in and going, oh, I don't have any best friends. Oh, I don't have a childhood home. I don't have any childhood memories that are the same, you know, that, and I literally, as a grown man, I used those memories to kind of give the lines a bit of haunting melancholy, to kind of, well, who am I? Where am I? What's the meaning of it all? You know, he can't experience emotions in the sense that he, you know, crying, or it doesn't understand death, but maybe he can understand the anguish, like the guy digging a ditch, and the, you know, but he still doesn't handle it very well, does he? Just, are you finished? No, it's not deep enough. I'll wait, you know, it's just, that's as far, you know, he almost makes a connection with someone's fear or anxiety. What I liked in Absolution was his being put in a situation where suddenly now he has to look after a, you know, 15-year-old Victoria, this girl, and getting, no information in this area. Just like, I don't know what to do. And I liked that he was completely back, wrong-footed, you know. And he struggled to kind of make a connection there and look after her in a very macho way, you know. You wouldn't want him as a dad, you know. Dad, I brought home a boyfriend. Oh, Dad, I wish you wouldn't do that. You know? He would never get in the door. You know? So yeah. So the question is simply, I had to make up my own reasons, and I chose my background to kind of help me, even though I wasn't trying to relive my past or something. It was just a way of putting an emotional feeling onto a hanger, or, you know, onto a skeleton. And then as the game developed its own history in terms of the character of Agent 47, then he starts to have a life of his own. And as I say, now he's a totally real person. He's my best friend. sad person I am.
Clayton had another, we right. Wrote down a whole bunch of stuff. I know, Clayton, I hope you don't mind if I steal this, but I think it was a really good one. Is how do you get into your mindset acting? Like, do you have any pre ritual? Sorry, Clayton, I'm stealing that one from you because you're too quiet.
There you go.
It's all good.
You're stuck in traffic. He can't get near you. Don't worry. I'm seeing cars moving very quick. Look, that car's flying by. Yeah.
It's all a parking lot. I found it.
Yeah. I'll believe it. No, my ritual is to be in a... two ways to answer this. When I was a total loser living in London, and being out of work as an actor, and I got a job in a big office selling mortgages. I wasn't selling them, I was just kind of processing them. I was a mortgage consultant or something, whatever that is. But the point is, I was a temp. It wasn't real. So I put on a suit, but that was a costume. And when I got to my desk, there were two computers and a telephone and all the shit that comes with an open plan office. But it just felt like I was on the set, you know. I'm not going there. And so, sometimes I'd say to people, you know, are you happy? And they go, oh no, the actor's having an existential. I'm going, no, it's cool. If you're cool with it, that's brilliant. But I don't get it. One day, walking past back from the canteen at lunch, I walked past a woman who had one of the most senior posts on the whole of that floor. She was the senior underwriter, and she was kind of a quiet woman, really in her own little world. And as I walked behind her to my desk, she just said this without looking up. She said, I envy you. And I kind of looked around going, who said that? And not even, you know. And I went, sorry, excuse me. And she said, and she didn't look up. She just went, you heard me. And I went, you found out I'm the tame actor who's pretending he's a mortgage consultant. And she goes, oh, it's the glamour. That's, yeah, of course, you envy all the glamour. I mean, look at the red carpet all the way to my desk. And she said, no. Again, she never once looked up because she was revealing something about herself, which was quite sad. She said, I envy you because you get to be other people. Whoa. And I thought, that says a lot about, you know, this woman just probably having a fantastic fantasy life, or but maybe living alone with a cat and just kind of, yeah, not quite knowing how to connect to people. You know, I don't know. But it, yeah, and that was true. And that's the thing about acting. You get to play. So my happy place when I'm going to go and act is to kind of stay in that zone of I'm going to play. Now this stick is my lightsaber. It is, you know, we've all been there. But we grow out of that, you know, and that's, don't do it. Grow back down again. Don't grow up. Grow back down again. Because that staying in that fun zone, which I get to do for a living and get money for, I love my job, is how I prepare. You know, so going, driving through traffic, as Clayton's not doing, to the studio to record Agent 47, I'm looking forward to meet my friend, Agent 47, and I'm curious to know what's going to happen today. You know, like, oh, and I don't want anything to upset me if it's traffic or a stupid driver in front of me or someone is being ignorant. You know, I want to stay in a happy place. So even if I'm going to do something, if I'm playing Macbeth, which I've done loads of Shakespeare. And there's not many laughs in Macbeth, trust me. But you still want to stand there and with your, you know, big sword at the end of the play, and the witches have just told you, you can't be killed by anyone born of woman. So you're thinking you're bulletproof. And then suddenly the witches turn around and going, the guy standing opposite you, he was born of a cesarean section. You're screwed. Because I mean, you weren't, and you're going, oh shit, that's not what I wanted to hear. And then the guy doubles up. Now he knows he's going to go down. Now he knows he's going to die. And he just goes, well, screw you. I'm going to go out with both barrels blazing. And I remember one mentioning Macbeth, one night this woman was like nearly on the stage. She was like leaning forward so much. And I thought she was kind of some really intense person, and I met her in the bar afterwards in the theater, and she said, may I ask you something, do you really mean what you said on stage then? And I went, what do you mean? She said, yeah, you look like you really, really meant it, you know, and you were really angry and you're holding your double-handed sword. And I went, "Ooh, that's what it was about." I went, yeah, I do. I've never grown up. That broadsword was my stick, which was my lightsaber, which is my magic wand, whatever. Just a happy place when you go acting is stay in that happy place. You know, keep your imagination free of shopping, mortgage, changing diapers.
Yeah. I need to act more.
Yeah, you should. That's the secret. We all forget it. We all forget to have fun. I have fun. I mean, my kids tell me to grow up. Is that a bad thing?
Mine do too.
Oh, do they? Oh, well, you'll be a great actor. Go there, bro. Yeah. Sorry, it was a long answer, but I think I got there in the end.
No, it's a good, it's fair, it's a good point. Go ahead, Clayton.
So I got one here. So on the industry side of things, not on the on the game side of things.
Let's get serious.
mean face time. Working in the industry, like, voice acting is sort of it's a newer thing, right? People have been doing it for years, and we have in animation, you know, for, you know, 30, 40 years, you have your famous voice actors who have done like Transformers and like your Peter Cullens and your Frank Welker and your Jim Cummings and stuff. What advice, working in the industry currently, would you give to somebody who wanted to break into the industry? Because it's an up and coming thing to be. Yeah. You've been doing it for 20 years, but it's an up and coming thing to be a celebrity voice in video games and animation now.
You know, I think there was a time when my wife didn't quite take my, voice acting and the whole Hitman thing seriously, until we had a stretch limo to the BAFTA Games Awards.
Yeah.
And we're going, okay, what would you like from the drinks cabinet, honey? And then you realize that the game industry is just exploded and become, and it's still in its beginning. I mean, it was 20 years ago, flipping heck, it was hardly moving by comparison to now. So the whole industry is still a pioneering, exciting place where there is room to really make an impact on the industry. And now the difference being is you'll be taken seriously. I flew into Burbank, to Warner Brothers Studios, for one day to go to attend the Voice Arts Awards, where I was nominated in two categories, one for Hitman. I didn't win. But, again, it's just the whole red carpet and the paparazzi, and you're in the Warner Brothers backlot, and it's a beautiful day, and I've got to fly back the next morning, and I've just arrived. I didn't know where I was, but my wife is with me. She got to stay for a week with my oldest daughter, have a great time. But there, those occasions when I stood and see the industry, where it's going and where it's the journey it's taken, it is so exciting, because it really is possible to make a career and have a rock and roll life as a voice actor. Whereas, in the last 20 years, at least I've been doing voice acting for a lot longer than that, but 21 years with Agent 47 in gaming, in my memory, there were times when it was definitely not considered a serious occupation. It was like, oh, you're a voice actor. Hello, that has changed. Now voice actors, got agents and representation. I got a PR agent in Vegas. I can really go out and attend conventions all over the world now. And I look forward to coming. I got knocked on the head with this pandemic, but as soon as we're up and ready to go again, I'm out there. So the word of advice to up and people who want to start out, don't try to be someone other than yourself, because the microphone will pick it up. So you can do it as an acting exercise if you like. Oh, I want to sound like Nolan North. Okay. And then you can mimic him, like do a Robin Williams impersonations or whatever. But the way that will actually cut you through the crowd is to be strong and honest and true to the way you think it should be done. You'll get some knocks along the way, but you won't be a wannabe. The people who listen to those voice tapes, they listen for maybe 10 seconds would be absolutely luxury. An audition tape, listen to 5 seconds. They just know straight away, nah. And I'll listen to 10 seconds going, maybe. They will really sense us. And that, voice actors probably don't want to know that, but seriously, every audition that goes in, if it's through an online digital database thing, voice database thing, or privately, you're getting maybe 5 seconds of chance to make an impression. So the only way to do it is to truly, be yourself and go, I'm going to do it this way. And even if your voice you think doesn't sound right, it will sound right to someone somewhere along the line. You know, the thing is, if you have the, you know, the guts to kind of stick with it. And but you can do that nowadays because of technology. People can do other jobs and have a great life and pay the bills and still come home to your, you know, your smart little time machine sound box or whatever you got going in a cupboard, and you can be the president of the world and, and record your stuff. Just believe it. Don't try to sound like someone else, is what I would say.
Yeah. Try to sound like you are that person. Don't try to sound like you're trying to sound like someone else.
Yeah. I don't know how to say this because the microphone picks it up. It's a bit similar to how the camera obviously picks it up, but the camera, you can use, there's so much stuff you can do with a camera to cheat. You know, I went to a masterclass with Michael Caine on film acting many years ago in the BBC in London. And he just did stand up for like 2 days. And we, as the studio audience, we had to come in the same clothes for 2 days, and they cut it down to 1 hour. Michael Caine, film acting. And he would say all these really obvious things in a very, very funny way. But he would say that, like, you could act your socks off, but if it cuts away and the last look in the scene is Al Pacino's reaction, just nodding, it's his moment. You know, you can forget it. You can, you're thinking, I'm going to act opposite Al Pacino. I'm going to say this and I'm going to tell him to his face that he's an asshole. And then the last shot is him just looking at and just closing his eyes a little bit. Al Pacino scene, you know.
Yeah.
So the camera can, you know, cheat and lie in a way that voice acting is just you on your vocal cords and your imagination. And a very unfriendly piece of metal in front of you called a microphone.
So, yeah. I think now that we're at a point where gaming has become an adult pastime and animation is not just relegated to like a children's entertainment, the voice acting, like your voice, you as the voice actor of 47 is incredibly important. And people realize that now. So now they're starting to take voice acting seriously. Like you guys, you are celebrities. You are deserving of that praise because you do sell that character.
You know, that's still coming. It's even more readily accepted in North America, and by that I include Canada, that status you have. I mean, as a voice actor, it's lagging, but it's we're getting there in Europe. And when I talked to my voice agent in London, you know, he thought he'd struck gold in signing me up. I only signed up with him in January. And he was so excited because he felt he was taking on someone who really had made a significant difference to this, to a computer, adult computer game franchise, you know? Mm-hmm. So he said, David, your voice has got money. Because you become that persona, you know, whatever. But the point being is the industry as a whole is, especially as it, I mean, mocap, there's an example for you. That is a major industry where actors are mocap actors. You know, they go around there in their spandex, sort of one single person condom. Okay, I'm a serious actor. Don't mess with me because I'm an orc, you know, or you know, I'm an avatar. And they are. And you have to be damn good and on point, you, because there's a lot of technology relying on you, not to screw it up, you know. So I think it's exciting times. You know, every year I'm a member of a BAFTA jury, BAFTA Games. So in November, I get to see the potential nominees. So I, you know, vote for them. And I'm literally speechless at where gaming is going. I'm looking at stuff. It's just, this is a feature film. This is, what is not being done, you know? I mean, 5-6 years ago, when I first started seeing virtual reality, and Battlestar was it Battlestar Galactica? It was a Star Wars That was one of the first. It was at the EGX in Birmingham in England. And I was there, and gamers had paid, booked 15 minutes on the virtual reality booths 6 months previously. And they've waited all day. And then they've paid like $150 to come into the place. And they just get, and it looks pretty crazy on the outside. You see someone, and you go, arrest that person. He's having an epileptic fit. But that was then. What is now? I mean, you can do Agent 47 virtual reality.
Yeah.
That is just, so yeah, the game industry, it's a good time. If people are thinking about it or hesitating about, is this a serious business to get into?
Yeah,
it is, and it's a lot of fun, and who knows where it's going, so do it.
So I just wanted to do a quick shout out to my friend Rob. He owns zombieportraits.com, so I he's another big fan of yours. When cool. I had mentioned that you were coming on the show, I've already shared this picture with Adam and Clayton, but he actually zombied you. So that's what he does. He's like, well, what do you think? I said that's fire, like that's amazing.
Perfect,
so
yeah.
I'm gonna talk to him about getting the copy sent out to you, so then that you've actually got a zombified version of yourself there. But yeah, zombieportraits.com, he does everything. He
zombieportraits.com. I'm gonna write that down.
Yep, he did a lot of, he did some not for the cast, but for the producers and the showrunners of The Walking Dead. He actually made their not the characters, but the director and all of them into zombies as a portrait. So he's, that was 24 hours that he did that picture.
I'm gonna send you something. About an amazingly talented artist living in Italy. Ivan is his name, which doesn't sound very Italian, if you ask me. He's become a mate of mine. We were at the Reykjavik computer game convention 2 years ago. That's what you can do now. We're in Iceland. What the hell are we doing there? And there's Manu Bennett from the Gladiator TV series, and the writer of Warlock. There was just amazing people there. But Ivan does stuff like that. He makes masks, which are insane. And I got into make me masks. So I've got a kind of a skull hitman mask.
Nice,
which is so cool. But I'll send you the link to that, because maybe your people will.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Zombieportraits.com. Remember that.
That's right. I told him that if you were up to it as Agent 47, you could do a shout out for him, and he's like, oh, that would be amazing. Not putting you on the spot. Just
no, not at all. No, I don't. So should I do it on screen now?
Sure, if you want, and then I can send. I'll edit the clip out and send it to him.
Okay. This is good. Zombie portraits. Zombie portrait or zombie portraits.
Zombie portraits with an S.
Okay, and what's his name?
Rob Sicchetto.
Okay, I'll just do Rob.
Rob, that's fine.
I'll screw that name up. Okay. Okay. This is Agent 47. I encourage you to go to zombieportraits.com and visit Rob's work. Don't forget, I know where you live.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's so good. He's gonna love that. He's
gonna scare the crap out of someone.
Where you
live. I'm getting goosebumps over here.
Well, yeah. I've done this. I do it for people if they pay money to charity or if there's maybe a real special occasion and stuff. Sometimes I don't advertise it, and I don't do the, I don't go on, I'm not a part, they keep trying to come get me to join up. What's it? That site where you can, pay me money and I'll do a birthday wish
like
for you.
Like Cameo?
Yeah, Cameo.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's a nice idea, and I have full respect for it, But I still want to kind of keep it a bit more exclusive. So if someone gives me a really good reason, I'll do it for them. But I say no a lot. But I love doing a voicemail for people. And I did it for someone who was going to visit his best friend. This is a true story. He was visiting his best friend in hospital who had blood cancer. And the kid was only 18 years old. And I went, you know, shit, life's hard enough as it is, but to get, pitched a curveball at that age was not fun. So I wrote I sent him a voicemail saying, hi, this is Agent 47. Brad cannot come to the phone right now because he's a little tied up. Leave a message after the tone, and I will decide whether he gets back to you.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can put it out there on your site as a what do you call it, a prize
promotion,
promotion thing,
promotional video.
Someone can, whatever, they can paint your house and then I'll send them, or whatever, wash your car or do something good or donate money to a first responder. Actually, when I checked out your site, I went, okay, you're new and this is good. I won't do that. But normally I actually insist on payment to a first responder. So, but don't worry, that's not the conditions I said yes to.
I'm not throwing this out there or anything, but pretty much my entire family is either retired from the police force or frontline workers, such as I work in a hospital and I'm shocked that I had today off.
What?
My dad was a police officer for almost 30 years.
Okay, your family's paid its dues. So I'm not going to ask you, hey, give me 30 bucks for a first responder. What have you been doing for the last 30 years? Well, saving everyone's ass, basically.
Yeah, I'm safe then. I won't have that knock at the door and I open it up and it's a knife through the door.
To be honest, I'm still waiting for that kind of a few years ago, I was approached to do a reality TV thing where they were going to just follow me around me and my family, kind of fly on the wall stuff. And I went, nah, I'm a bit too private for that. But one of the other ideas they had a thing going on, a TV program where they sent a bunch of rockers, real Hell's Angels looking terrifying guys and just covered in tattoos and looking badass, going up to people in the street, approaching them like, four or five guys, and go, oh my God, whatever. And then just giving them a big hug. And they were calling it rocker hugs,
Rocker hugs.
Yeah, you could pay these people and then they should have filmed you on candid camera and make a best of every week and stuff. And I think it was a fun idea. And I thought, so I was asked, well, maybe we should go one step further and have Agent 47 paying you a visit, and just to see people go, oh, no, I'll pay the tax. I'll pay it, but they decided, no, it was just too, it was a bit too dark to have me walk around. I did do it once though. I did a Hitman movie, a short film, listen, about nearly 30 years ago, way before Hitman. And I was playing a hitman and I had to whack a guy in a public toilet in downtown Copenhagen. And it's so funny. I whacked this guy in the urinal. So he's the scene that this, a drunken guy came into the toilet and what met him was me standing over this guy with a cigarette in my mouth. I had a silenced gun. I'm standing there with this gun and, black gloves, and I've got the raincoat on, and lying in the urinal was the stuntman who had got blood capsules, blown up the side of his head, and there was blood splattered all over the urinal. And all I had to do was to press the urinal switch to make it so all the water come down and wash the blood away, And this poor guy just came in off the street. And people were going, no, don't get on the, don't, I just care about it. And the worst part was he ran up the steps and I ran after him. trying to explain. And I thought, you know, he ran like the wind. And to this day, he probably thinks, I witnessed a hit. And he came down. You walked in on a film, you dick. You know. Yeah.
I know when Drew asked you this for my Inside the Game and you apologize. What is your take on those movies? I won't even say the actual name, but
don't get me started. I got into a lot of trouble for a little tiny comment I made.
Okay, fair enough. That's all you need to say.
No. The Golden Joysticks Awards in London. I had to go over and give the best sniper award. Hitman Sniper Series. They did a competition for the whole planet, and they flew in the world's 8 best snipers. If I was with the CIA or the MI5 gang, you're all hired, okay? I don't care if you're 14, you're hired. Because you're the best hitman in the world. And I was walking onto the stage to present the award, and the Irish stand-up comedian host, as I walked down, he said, "So, tell me, what do you think of Timothy Oliphant?" Which was just, he was just feeding me a line, and I had to give him the punchline. And I just went, "He's crap." No, he's not crap. He's a very fine actor. But that nearly got me into court, at least. But I spent the next 4 years trying to answer that, get out of that one in interviews, going, no, it's not. No, the movie was a bit, but no, he did a good enough job. But the whole issue with that film, the first film just was to run that subject, was sadly when Paul Walker passed away doing a stunt downtown LA. And it was just like 2 months, 3 months before they were due to start filming. And the film now had become a European film in the sense that Luc Besson was the executive producer, Mr. Leon, Jean Reno, you know, the whole, okay, he'll do a good job. Suddenly there was a real panic. Well, who are we going to get now? And there was a strong movement to get me involved there to convince 20th Century Fox to give me a crack. And obviously they went, made perfect sense, of course. I have no connection to Hollywood, and he was in the Deadwood series at 20th Century, so it was a no-brainer, and he's a fine actor. But when you took his hair off, he looked about 12, and that was my that was my only issue with it. And then apart from that, then the film, you know, we got to get a love interest. No. What's with the beautiful girl? No, don't go there.
And I don't even remember. I don't like. I never saw the second one. Well, the reboot. But
yeah.
Diana wasn't even in the first one, if I remember. Like, she was in the second one.
She was in the second one. I don't remember in the first one at all either, actually.
And like it's. Sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say one thing about the second film, which was good. The actor.
Rupert Fiennes. I think that was his name.
Because he'd just done the Homeland series and was a CIA hitman there. He was genuinely dangerous, in my opinion. He looked less like me or, you know, Agent 47. But when I saw him in action, that's when I went, okay, run. Don't talk, run, you know. I thought he was more dangerous, but yeah, I think they should do it the other way around. They should make a motion picture and then make a computer game. That will do the trick, because you just think of a computer game's got, I don't know, 8, 12, 15 hours of game time, and you times that by 8 games over 20 years, and then you make a 90-minute feature film. Are we going to be disappointed? Yes, we are. You cannot live up to the expectations of the fan base. But if you do the other way around, I think that would make sense. You know.
So are there any plans to possibly see Hitman as like an animated series on Netflix? Like, have they ever talked about anything like that, or is that an NDA? You can't talk about that.
No, there's a little bit of that I can't talk about. That's probably wiser. I don't say anything there.
Fair
there
enough.
Is one aspect. Clayton's fallen asleep at the wheel. He's driving a car. He's getting out of the car at speed. What's he doing?
Sorry, I am a consummate Canadian.
Walking away from his
somebody
car.
Somebody in the parking lot actually needs booster cables, and I'm looking to see if I have any.
Oh, what a guy!
He's been parked on the 400 for so long he caused them all to die.
He's run out of gas. No. There is the talk of TV series.
I have booster cables.
Yeah, and the TV series has been on and off for years now, and I know a part of that is that obviously they'll get some square-jawed Mr. Hollywood to play it, and I'm too old for it now probably, but there has been talk of getting me in as a cameo or as a regular in ICA offices. You know, it could be the gun expert, it could be the Q or something. Yeah, right, pay attention, Agent 47. I don't know, just to kind of do an Alfred Hitchcock thing of going, hey, the real hitman, he's there, look, there's the guy in the background, yeah, the ball guy. So who knows, that would be nice. I would definitely take a jump at that if it is. I've seen some of the background stories on it, about it on IMDb a long time ago now. Then it went away and it came back and it was in pre-production, then it's gone away again. So who knows, but I'll kill people for money, or I'll give them the guns they need to kill people for money. Whatever.
That's perfect.
I was muted there, but I just gave those people booster cables.
You're a guy
in a parking lot,
Clayton.
That's how far I'm willing to go to prove to you that I'm not driving. I got out of the vehicle.
I'm sure I counted six lanes outside there. I'm
he's on the Autobahn.
It is just bumper to bumper here.
Yeah, just traffic. Traffic's a bitch. I said they're thinking of,
all right, okay, no problem.
What's the guy doing sitting quietly in his car? Don't go there.
Yeah, see? I actually hired the guy to give me back the booster cables and say thank you.
There you go. That's spoken like a true actor. We hire people to come up and ask us for our autographs.
Yeah.
I don't, but I've met someone who did.
Wow. Does anybody have anything else? Like any other questions? And I really appreciate you coming on. I know you've been super busy promoting.
Trust me, I've got two voiceovers to do after this, and they range from boring to very boring. So I'm about to have an unglamorous afternoon. So thank you for saving me from it.
You need to get some wobbly pop in your system or something just to get through that boringness.
I'm absolutely. I've got the scripts are right in front of me. Oh, just my brain's going.
I can see the pain.
Yeah. And I've got to talk with such enthusiasm, you know. Or no, they're not. One of them is a bit enthusiastic. It's it doesn't matter. But that's just how it is sometimes. And tomorrow, absolutely. I got some better jobs. I got a back to the trailers for Cannes. You know, those are fun.
Nice.
Those are a lot of fun because someone's just spent $200 million or something, and then I'm gonna screw it all up in 10 seconds. And, you know, it's a crap film. Don't go and see it. And again, what? No one's gonna see our film. I mean, Cannes is mainly about selling your property. It's, you know, there is the competition side, but there's a serious side afterwards, and the TV and documentary film festival afterwards, where they, you know, production companies are selling their stuff to each other. So that's where I'm going to make them sound like, oh, this is so good, you gotta buy this.
Well, I again really appreciate you coming on. I'm not going to lie, I was not expecting a response. I not in the sense that like I'm not confident in what I do. It's just I've like sending message after message just to people. It got borderline stalkerish for me, and I was like, gonna, if I don't hear anything back, I'm not going to be like, hey, answer me. But
I mean, you have my sympathies, hey, because it's, you know, you don't want to come across as being too pushy or being a stalker or being like, you know, some crazy fan, you know. And I have a few of those. So actually, you know what? Here's the truth. Only yesterday, I'm going to say this live now, but you know, when I was in Google, and when I open up Google, there's a picture of my house. Okay, what the? This is a Google Street View. I just calm down, David. You know, your address is out there. But I didn't expect to see a photograph of it, you know, from a drive-by Google van. I mean, I could have been standing there butt naked in my garden.
you know you've made it when you're on Google Street View.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. But, so, you know, I have a thing with my telephone number. I keep extremely private. Twice has it given me real issues where I had a crazy fan in Germany. They used to call me every hour on the hour, day and night, you know, and she thought this was showing her love for me. And I was trying to quietly tell her in my, well, I don't speak German, and she didn't speak English, so I had not a chance in hell, until I got a friend of mine and said, listen, you speak German, say something to this woman to make her go away. And he did. And I don't know what he said, but it sounded good.
He must have said something in the vein of Agent 47, but in German.
Yeah. Do you realize he knows where you live? You know, just outside of Munich, you know. I don't know. But it's very rare I get issues with it. But it's more at gaming conventions and hanging around anywhere at a gaming convention, from the hotel to, that's where you have to kind of, I arrived in Reykjavik. And they employed a company of, is it Taekwondo? Yeah, Taekwondo. A Taekwondo club who were also stuntmen. I mean, they were pretty tough dudes, these Icelandics. And they all turned up at the airport dressed in as Agent 47. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm in good company here. So the whole of that week, I was driven around in a special car, and these guys are all sort of going, you know, the assets in the van, you know, and all that stuff. But they had a backside to that, is that I wanted to meet people, but people couldn't get near me. I was surrounded by, you know, as clones of me, just like in, and buffed as, you know, bollocks, these big guys. So nice, but they scared the crap out of the fans. You know, so there's a downside. Wow. I love them. I hope to come back up there. They strongly recommend Iceland as a place to visit.
Sounds nice.
Be nice after I've come to Canada.
Of course. You have to come here first.
Absolutely.
Clayton will give you jump cables if you ever need a boot.
Yeah. Because clearly I have some.
Renegade Bears. This is my only question. Get the nipples on the nipples of the bear. Just hold it. I'll be wrecking my car. It's going to start the car. Yeah.
Renegade Bears.
That's an agent. Yeah.
I don't know that we have any bears that are not renegade bears.
Yeah, I know. And I don't think you get them to stand still long enough to put the two start cables on the nipples. And you're just going, right. Yeah, you got it. Take that.
That's perfect.
I will not be camping. Good luck with your camping.
No, it's not for everybody. I mean,
I love camping. I actually love camping, but I don't know if I'll be able to kind of just relax, you know, middle of the night.
You're in the bush. You'll hear noises and
yeah. And then why is my leg in that bear's mouth? Cool. Listen, guys, it's been a total pleasure.
I appreciate you coming on, and when you're able to talk more about future projects, I'd love to have you back on if you'd be willing to come back. And
yeah, you betcha. And, I would probably put something out on Twitter's at some point.
No, for sure. No, I appreciate that. I gotta get this edited so that the internet freezing doesn't looks so bad, but I'll have that out and I'll send you a copy of it. And I'll send Rob a copy of the shout out from Agent 47. But again, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you.
And me, you guys. Take care. Yeah. And I'll see you out there.
Perfect.